Welcome to the Wednesday, March 14th, 2012 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Frankfurt, Germany. Let's start today with Microsoft's Patch Tuesday. As expected, Microsoft released 6 patches. One patch, MS-1220, a vulnerability in Windows Remote Desktop Service, or RDP, was rated critical. Microsoft emphasized the need to apply this patch in a blog post. This is a pre-authentication flaw, so someone with an open RDP server may be vulnerable to remote code execution even if the account password is not breached, which is why we rated this as a patch now bug for servers. The remote desktop service is not enabled by default, but frequently what we see is that server administrators use it to configure and maintain servers and then leave it wide open. Port 3389 that is associated with RDP is one of our more frequently scanned ports, and typically all the attacker will look for here is weak passwords, and they're quite frequently successful. So regardless of this particular vulnerability, one thing I really want to emphasize is take this as yet another reason to really narrow down access to RDP. If you need it, then limit it to VPNs, limit it to administrative networks, but please don't leave it wide open to the internet. But well, while the other bulletins aren't really all that critical, let's take a quick look at them. MS-1217 fixes a denial of service vulnerability in Microsoft's DNS server, so it really only affects you if you do run the Microsoft DNS server. The second one, MS-1218, fixes, well, yet again, kernel driver issues that are most likely exploited to escalate privileges. MS-1219 addresses another denial of service issue. This time, the denial of service affects direct write, which really is more of a client issue and not so much of a server issue. And finally, there are two bulletins that are not targeting Windows. MS-1221 targets Visual Studio, so your developers should look at that. And then MS-1222 fixes yet another unsafe DLL issue. This time, it's expression design. If you remember those DLL issues, we have them about once or twice in each one of these bulletins for Microsoft for the last 2 years or so. So from a patch priority point of view, really the RDP issue is the number one, two, and three issue to fix. There is no Internet Explorer rollup patch or something like that. So the other ones I would really apply as they apply to your particular system. And in other news, we got another diary by Lenny Seltzer here about fake registrar spam. We do see that pop up once in a while. The trick here is always the same. They're claiming that they represent some registrar, typically for a nation top-level domain like .cn or .asia. And then they essentially want you to register a domain name you already own in .com or other top-level domains within .asia to protect your trademark. The emails usually make it sound like you have to do it now or someone else will take it. These emails are typically not associated with any legit registrar. And Symantec did an interesting study where they actually left cell phones behind. So they went through a couple of cities and left, I think, a total of 50 cell phones behind in various spots, so like in public bathrooms, in taxi cabs, and so on. And then they essentially just checked what was happening. They did actually add some fake data to these cell phones, for example, usernames and passwords, to also be able to monitor honor whether or not those credentials and other information was used. Now, what I found is on the good side that half of the cell phones were returned, or at least the finder made an attempt to contact the owner of the cell phone. But at the same time, more than 80% of the cell phones were accessed. So personal information off the cell phone was accessed, even in many cases where the cell phone was later then returned to the owner. And while we're talking about cell phones, there is another piece of research by Trusteer where they came across a version of the Gozi Trojan. This particular Trojan is using phishing to ask the user for their cell phone's IMEI number. Now, this is essentially the serial number of your cell phone that it uses to identify itself to the cellular network. The attacker will then use this number to ask the carrier to deactivate the phone, essentially telling the carrier that the phone was stolen or lost. The next thing they're then doing is that they're obtaining a copy of a SIM card. So they're asking the carrier, hey, send me a new SIM card because, well, mine, of course, was lost with the old phone. That SIM card is then associated with the victim's cell phone number and can then be used to receive SMS messages that, for example, a bank or such may send with one-time passwords. This game sounds rather elaborate, and I haven't seen it personally yet, but Trusteer claims they have actually seen this Trojan in action, injecting these pages asking for the IMEI number. And anyway, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.